With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
But our next guest saw Sunday night differently. Now, I talked about the unifying effect of this. I can't say per se that I saw a lot of people that were black, Latino, among the crowds that surged at the various spots. Certainly, it didn't look that way at Frankfurt and Cotman, but in downtown Philadelphia and other, I think there were people. And the Eagles are the treasure of all races, all situations. Our guest Ernest Owens writes for Philly Mag, and I use his stuff a lot on the air. I'm glad we finally got him on. His most recent piece, "The Eagles Won Big Sunday Night, and So Did White Privilege." He joins us on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Ernest, thanks for coming on today. Appreciate it.
Yes, hi. How are you?
Well, very well, Ernest. I have to commend you. Your stuff is very provocative. I use it a lot all over the place. I love the stuff you write, even though I differ with a lot of it. And in this one,
yes, I do.
In this regard, tell me, do you feel the unity that comes from sports and comes from this whole thing? And more than anything in Philadelphia, although I would say the Sixers are pretty diverse too. Hockey, let's face it, is a white guy thing. And there's no doubt about that. And baseball, Philly's crowds are primarily white.
Yes.
Sixers, though, I think slight edge to African-Americans, but it's white people, too. Football, though, is universal of talking about. So,
well, I don't think so. I think, I have data, and I guess, I look at the facts. 83% of the NFL is 70% of color as far as players go. But when you look at the fanship behind it, it's about 83% white.
Now, wait a minute. You're telling me, let's take Philadelphia. Where did you get that statistic? 83%, you believe, of fans, as defined of what? People that go to games or something else?
Just a total of fanatics. So 76% of African-American men comprise of the NFL rosters. Even though they represent 6% of the United States population, while a majority of NFL players are black, the NFL fan base is 83% white and 64% male. And that's just general numbers across all.
Well, okay. Now, wait a minute, though. But given the numbers of African-Americans making up about 13% of the population and making up 17% of the NFL, I think it's a little bit more in sync. But how about here in Philadelphia, though? I mean, you listen to my colleagues like Angela and others, they tell me that you hear caller after caller, white, black, it's mixed. It's the one thing in the area where people come together, no?
I think it varies. I think this year was an interesting year for the NFL, and I think that this year, because of a lot of numerous things, we saw the racial divide within sports fans and them making the decision whether or not they want to boycott the NFL and not support it versus those who had mixed opinions, given how we saw other fans treat other fans about their beliefs. And we saw that with Kaepernick, and we saw that with the Players Coalition, and we saw that with the president, the current president, who referred to those men as son of a bitches because they didn't support, his motion. So I think that, even though there's a fan base where you would say it's unified, I don't think that it is as much as we perceive it to be.
Okay. All right.
When we look at these celebrations,
yes.
There are certain things that some fans can do that other fans can't, and that's where the point of white privilege came.
Okay. Now let's talk about that too. We'll get to let's start with the definition. What's Ernest Owens' definition of white privilege? What's your working definition of that?
Well, it's showing historical and institutional advantages given to white people above people of color simply based on race. And there's historical, institutional, and database findings, research, and everything else that you can look up on Google that will prove this, from the criminal justice system to education to politics to representation in media and movies. It shows that there is an unfair advantage for white people given the historical context of racism in America.
Okay. Now, does it give you pause to be careful with that, though? Because you know what a comeback could be, an age-old comeback. Wait a minute, though. Somebody like you is a media pundit, making it, doing well. I see you in a lot of different places.
I'm a journalist. I'm not a media pundit.
Okay. Or a journalist. Okay. Versus yeah. some guy, and I hate to use Kensington. We all have some white guy in Kensington without two nickels to rub together. You think he has privilege over someone like Ernest Owens?
Yes, he does. Because let me explain something. What we have to understand is the class dynamics are often used to overshadow the racial disparities. His likelihood, there are more educated black men that get actually black women who are educated that actually get paid less than working class white men on average.
Well, that's that may be true with women across the board. But I'm back to the guy in Kensington, though. Ernest,
yes.
What kind of power does he have? That you
so
don't.
The guy in Kensington was able to have the power to get Trump in office. And my small core, okay, of educated black men that make up only a decimal point of the power and political dynamics in this country could not get any type of power to fight that in Pennsylvania, right? So I would say that he has political power. He has political influence.
But wait a minute.
Democrats and Republicans center the issues of working class white men and their issues politically in their campaign. They tone down.
Whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let me stop you right there. Okay, Ernest, come on now. This is why the Democrat Party.
We can talk about it.
Yeah, well, this is why the Democrat Party has gone off the rails. There is no place for straight white males in there. They're routinely seen as bigots, part of the problem. Trump voters.
Here's the question. How many, there are more white straight men running the Democratic Party than anyone else? So how does that play into it?
Well, wait a minute. Let's go down the list. President Obama is still a titular figure of that. Mr. Perez
yes,
is not
one,
a straight white male.
Wait a minute.
Perez is not. He's running the DNC. Nancy Pelosi has been in power forever. Elizabeth Warren is the rising figure there. You do have Schumer. You do have Bernie Sanders. You had Hillary Clinton. You had Hillary Clinton as Hillary Clinton as a nominee.
But when you look across from the state power all the way down, it's literally majority men. Like, let's not talk about a couple of you're talking about a couple of superstars, which is what we always do, right? It's so many white men in political power. We can't deny that I can't even name all the superstars.
Well, look, here's a point where you and I might
agree
on this one. I think Jim Kenney, if he's really about equality, shouldn't be mayor. He ought to be behind some person of color if he wants to follow his dictate. That we don't have enough people of color.
But you notice that it was easy for him to get certain mandates like the soda tax. And I bet you if a black man proposed a soda tax, he would have got done. Oh, that's right. Nutter did. And that didn't happen. Right. So we do see the power and privilege of that. Right. People will respond differently when someone else who is of a different hue responds to something or actions that are done. And we've
okay.
seen this in history.
Now, let's talk about the specific. Let's talk about the specific of your argument. The Eagles won Sunday night, but so did white privilege. So the argument is, if the Sixers, let's say, even though I think it's diverse, win, Ernest.
Number says otherwise.
So wait a minute. You're saying followers of the Sixers are overwhelmingly black.
They're majority minority, so that's black and brown people. These are all, again, this is all information. I hyperlinked it in my article. If you look at my article at the bottom on my point about the Sixers, I hyperlinked the data that shows that I believe 83% is or a majority of support for in an NBA in general is of color compared to, you know, the NFL, where you see an overwhelming number of white fans compared to black fans, even though both leagues have a majority of color.
So okay. All right. Now,
black
so your argument is if this had happened and, say, the Sixers win, that's the only thing I could take, I guess, and people are flooding into the streets. The police, led by a black police commissioner who was just on today, and I would say at the top rung, it's about half and half black and white of the top 10 or 15 positions there, Ernest. They are going to instruct people differently when it comes to dealing with black fans exhibiting the same behavior that white Eagles fans exhibited.
Well, you have to look at politics. Who the FOP runs the police department, the union groups. They have a high influence. That's majority white. We have a guy who runs the FOP, McNesby, who refers to black activists who protested outside as rabid animals, which was many people looked at them, including the mayor, as racially insensitive. So we have seen.
Well, wait a minute. What was insensitive is going to a cop's house and screaming stuff at his wife that was beyond the pale. That's what I think
was
insensitive.
And what is insensitive is also men being able to jump on poles and not be getting a citation for it. Right.
Well, wait a minute. I would cite them for it. So wait a minute, Ernest, just slow down. If these were black men doing it because the Sixers won, you think the police department would say arrest those black men, but don't arrest the white guys that are Eagles fans?
Well, what I'm trying to tell you is that it's baffling to me that there was zero arrest at all during that whole entire Eagles thing. We saw on camera fires being set across the city. We saw loud crowds. We saw public lewdness. We saw people climbing, poles. We saw people acting out, drinking. I mean, there was a lot of public, just misconduct that night. And we've seen it happen at the Mummers. We've seen it happen at St. Patrick's Day. And then when you look at the reports, there's like zero arrests. But then you have something like the Philly Greek Picnic, which was led by black fraternities and sororities, and there were 17 arrests and tons of citations given out.
I don't think there were zero arrests. There were people arrested. I do think.
No, the mayor spoke today. I was at a press conference this morning from Philly, and he said there were no arrests made.
Said there were no arrests made. So do you think there should have been a lot more people arrested?
Let's be real here. Do you think that a crowd that large with that much mayhem going on, with fires being lit and people climbing over, you mean to tell me nothing, that none of that is against the law?
I would arrest a lot more people. I would be honest with you.
Exactly.
Yeah, I definitely would.
So doesn't that surprise you? I mean, can you be honest with me here? Let's be honest. If that was a crowd of black people, you don't think arrests would have been made?
I think if the same
–
Ernest. If the same behavior with Eagles particularly – and all that pent up, the police are going to give a lot more space, maybe too much space, but they're going to do that no matter who is doing it.
But they don't. We've seen this consistently, that they actually don't give that kind of space, right? Like, they don't give that space to activists. You know, I've covered protests in this community. I've covered rallies and marches. There are not protests, right? I've covered rallies, marches, and seeing situations where there may be about 10 or 7 people marching for racial justice or some issue, and they don't have weapons. They're not, destroying property. And there are literally wasting taxpayers' dollars, the police, 30 police officers on bicycles, 10 police cops for 10 people that are walking down the street.
And they're protecting them in addition to trying to prevent them from doing things that are illegal. Hey, Ernest, I'm flat out of time in this segment. I do want to have you back. Tell people where we can find your work on a regular basis.
Well, I'm at Philadelphia Magazine. I have a weekly column. I also am an editor there, and I also have Twitter. I have a verified Twitter and Facebook account. I've definitely been getting enough buzz already from some players, fans, and I just want to tell them, hey, it's a game. And, you know, it's interesting to me how a lot of the Eagle supporters, some of them are crazy, over the top, patriots, and they're making judgment on what they think my, opinion is. But I say, if you honor the First Amendment, it's freedom of speech. And so I'm a journalist. I have a right to my opinion. I have a right to write the free press. So they're calling the publication saying he should be fired for speaking my truth, practicing my First Amendment right as an American citizen. I think that's interesting. I think it's hypocrisy how, in one moment you're saying you're patriotic and you're for people practicing their rights in a civil manner, and somehow I wonder what the double standard is for a black writer to express their opinions in a civil manner in the press.
Well, wait a minute, though. I think if you rain on the Eagles' euphoria here, black or white, there's going to be blowback on it.
I'm not getting insults by black Eagles fans. These are all white fans.
All right. Well, you and I have to meet you and talk with you. I'm intrigued by the stuff that you write, Ernest, and I do agree.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for coming on today. To be continued.
Thank
when you have an idea, we'd like to talk with you.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Don.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.